Hey everyone, and welcome back for another deep dive. Today we're going to be looking at tech ethics.
Ooh, very relevant.
It really is. And we've got a ton of great material to go through.
Yeah, we've got research from ethicists, tech policy experts. We've got some AI specialists.
All sorts of different perspectives on this.
Exactly.
So this would be a good one.
It should be a good one. And I think it's something that, you know, we all kind of deal with in our lives right now.
Oh, yeah. It's so pervasive, technology.
Especially as technology is, you know, kind of changing so rapidly.
It's evolving so quickly.
Yeah.
And like, we're just trying to keep up ethically.
Yeah. And like, what are the rules and how is this all supposed to work?
Totally.
So I think to kind of kick things off.
Yeah.
Why is this such a hot topic right now?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is just the rate of change. I mean, it's just been insane.
Yeah.
You know, even just a few years ago, this would have seemed like...
like science fiction.
Totally, yeah.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things that's really driving this.
So it's kind of like we're figuring things out as we go.
Yeah, like building the ship as we're sailing it.
Exactly.
But the stakes are higher than ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because these decisions that we're making now, like about how to use AI ethically, you know, how to protect our data privacy, all this stuff, it's going to have ripple effects for... generations to come.
Yeah, for sure.
So
we have to get it right.
We got to get it right.
Yeah.
We can't afford to mess this up.
Well, let's get into some of the specifics here.
Yeah.
One of our experts, Dr. Elena Torres.
Oh, yeah.
She's an ethicist specializing in privacy rights.
Okay.
And she really emphasized the importance of privacy, like especially in today's world.
For sure. I mean, it's... It's something we all think about.
Yeah. And she argues that it's crucial for individual autonomy and freedom.
Like, you can't have freedom without privacy, in a way.
Yeah.
Especially in the digital age.
Especially in the digital age, yeah.
Where everything's tracked.
Yeah.
And, you know, you leave these data trails everywhere.
It's true. And we're generating so much data.
Mountains of data.
All the time.
Every day.
Without even realizing it.
Like, what you search online, your location, your shopping habits.
Yeah.
Even like what you're watching on Netflix.
Totally.
All of that is being collected.
Yeah, it is.
And often we have like no clue how it's being used.
Yeah, like who's looking at it?
Right.
What are they doing with it?
It can feel like you're constantly being watched.
It's kind of creepy when you stop and think about it.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's that lack of transparency and control.
Yeah.
That makes this such a big ethical issue.
Yeah.
And it can open the door to all sorts of problems.
Like what?
Well, Dr. Torres talks about manipulation.
Okay.
Especially through targeted advertising.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, everyone's familiar with those ads that follow you around the internet.
Oh, yeah. Those are the worst.
But it's not just annoying.
Yeah.
It's like...
it's deeper than that.
It's deeper than that.
Yeah.
Because they're using your data to kind of predict your desires.
Yeah.
And influence your choices.
So they're basically like trying to manipulate you.
In a way, yeah.
Into buying things.
Right. It goes even deeper than that.
Yeah.
Dr. Torres also talks about how... this lack of privacy can be used to discriminate against certain groups or individuals.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty scary when you think about it.
Yeah.
If someone can access your data without your knowledge or consent, they could potentially use it against you.
Yeah.
Deny you opportunities or even like damage your reputation.
Oh, that's unsettling.
It is. Yeah. It raises some really fundamental questions about power and control in the digital age.
Who owns our data?
Right.
Who gets to profit from it?
Exactly.
Who gets to decide how it's used?
Those are the big questions.
Yeah.
And I think we're only just starting to grapple with them.
Yeah, for sure.
Now, speaking of profiting from data, our next expert, Marcus Reed.
Okay.
He's a tech policy expert.
Mm-hmm.
And he dives deeper into this whole issue of data usage.
Okay.
And he's particularly concerned about the lack of informed consent.
So like when we click agree on all those terms and conditions.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How often do you actually read those things?
Jennifer.
Right? Like nobody does.
That's like a novel.
It's like a novel.
Yeah.
And even if you did read it, would you understand it?
Probably not.
Right? So the problem is most people have no idea how their data is going to be used, who it's going to be shared with, or even how long it's going to be stored.
That's a good point.
It's like signing a contract.
Yeah.
In a language you don't understand.
Yeah.
You're just hoping for the best.
You really are.
Yeah. And one of the things that Reed highlights is this whole concept of data monetization.
Data monetization.
Which is essentially the business model of the internet.
Oh, okay.
So companies collect your data.
Right.
They analyze it. They package it. And then they sell it.
To who?
to advertisers, to other third parties.
So they're making money off of our information.
It's a multi-billion dollar industry.
Wow, and we don't even get a cut.
Yeah, that's the big ethical dilemma here.
What about our privacy?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Reed argues that there needs to be more transparency, more control for individuals, and potentially even ways for people to benefit financially from their own data.
Interesting.
Yeah, like if companies are going to make money off of our data, why shouldn't we get a share of the profits?
I mean, it makes sense. It almost feels like we're the product.
In a way, you're right.
Yeah.
And there's an even bigger problem.
Oh, no.
Once this data is out there, it's out there for good.
Oh.
This is what Reed calls data permanence.
Okay.
The idea that data can be stored indefinitely, potentially leading to privacy invasions or reputational damage down the line.
See, that's the part that always freaks me out.
It's a legitimate concern. I mean, think about like something you posted online 10 years ago.
Yeah.
What if that came back to haunt you later in life?
Oh, that would be bad.
And it raises these serious questions about, you know, our ability to grow and change.
Yeah.
And even like a right to be forgotten in the digital age.
Right. Like, can you actually erase your past online?
It's a tough one.
Yeah, it is.
So think about your own social media history.
Okay.
Would you be comfortable?
Probably not.
With everything you've ever posted being publicly accessible forever?
Oh, definitely not.
And that's why this issue of data permanence is so important to grapple with.
Okay.
As we think about, you know, the ethical implications of technology.
Yeah.
It's not just about what happens today. Mm-hmm. But also about the long-term consequences of our digital footprints.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So we've talked about privacy.
Yeah.
We've talked about data usage.
Yeah.
Let's shift gears now and talk about another hot-button issue.
Ooh.
AI bias.
Yeah.
We're using AI for everything these days.
I mean, it's everywhere.
It is everywhere, from hiring decisions to loan approvals, even in law enforcement.
Yeah, you're right.
But what happens when these systems are biased?
That's a great question.
This is where the work of Dr. Raj Mehta comes in.
Okay.
He's a researcher in AI ethics and fairness.
Okay.
And he explains that AI bias often stems from the data that these systems are trained on.
Mm.
Think of it like this. AI systems are like students.
Okay.
They learn from the information they're given.
Right.
So if the data is biased, the AI is going to be biased too.
That makes sense.
You view an example.
Yeah.
Imagine an AI system being used to screen job applicants.
Okay.
If it was trained on historical hiring data that favors men, it might unfairly disadvantage female applicants.
Even if they're more qualified.
Exactly.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's a real problem.
Yeah.
And it's not just limited to hiring.
Mm.
AI bias can creep into all sorts of systems, impacting everything from loan approvals and healthcare access to even the criminal justice system.
It makes you wonder how much of our lives is already being shaped by these algorithms.
It's a lot more than we realize.
That we don't even really understand.
And that's why it's so important to be aware of this issue.
Yeah.
As AI becomes more and more prevalent in our lives.
Absolutely.
We need to be asking the tough questions now.
Yeah.
To ensure that AI is used for good.
Yeah.
And not to perpetuate existing inequalities.
Yeah. I think it feels like we're at a crossroads.
We are with this technology.
Yeah. And we have to decide which way we want to go.
Exactly.
So those are some of the big challenges.
The big ethical dilemmas. Yeah.
Privacy, data usage, AI bias.
They're all interconnected.
They all kind of feed into each other.
Exactly the way we address one
inevitably
impacts the others.
So it's not like we can just solve one problem.
It's all part of the same puzzle.
Yeah. And we have to look at the whole thing.
And the good news is.
Oh, there's good news.
There's good news. There are brilliant minds. Like.
Okay.
Dr. Torres, Marcus Reed, Dr. Mehta, they're all working to address these ethical challenges and create a more equitable and responsible digital future.
That's good to hear.
So it's not all doom and gloom.
No, it's not all doom and gloom.
There's hope.
There is hope. We can get this right. Okay, so where do we go from here?
Well, that's exactly what we'll be discussing in part two of our deep dive.
Awesome. I can't wait.
We'll explore some potential solutions.
Okay.
And hear more from our experts about how we can all contribute to shaping a more ethical tech landscape.
All right, I'm ready to dive in deeper.
Me too.
Join us next time as we continue our exploration of tech ethics.
See you then.
Welcome back to our deep dive on tech ethics.
It's getting real out there.
It really is. Yeah.
In the digital world.
We've been talking about a lot of problems.
Yeah, some big challenges.
Yeah.
But they're also solutions.
Oh, good.
Things we can do to make things better.
I like that. So where do we start?
Well, I think one of the key takeaways from our experts is the need for stronger regulations.
Okay, so like laws and rules.
Yeah, exactly, to protect our data.
Makes sense.
You know, Dr. Torres, she was really passionate about this.
Yeah, she was.
She pointed to the General Data Protection Regulation.
What's that?
GDPR.
Oh, okay, I've heard of that.
It's a set of rules in Europe
okay.
that gives individuals more control over their personal data.
So instead of companies just doing whatever they want with our information?
Yeah. Correct. And GDPR puts the power back in the hands of the people.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah, it gives you the right to access the data companies have on you.
Oh, really?
Correct any inaccuracies.
Okay.
And even delete it entirely in some cases.
That's awesome.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a really big step forward for privacy.
So do you think something like that could work in other parts of the world?
I think a lot of experts believe that GDPR has set a precedent.
Okay.
You know, it sparked a global conversation about data privacy and how to regulate it.
I think so.
It's really about finding that balance between innovation
and
protecting individual rights.
Okay, so that's on like the government level.
Yeah.
But what about the companies themselves?
Right.
What can they do to be more ethical?
Well, Marcus Reed, our data ethics expert.
Okay.
He had some great insights on this.
Yeah.
He really stressed the importance of radical transparency.
Radical transparency. Okay.
Yeah. So basically, companies need to be upfront.
Okay.
And clear about how they collect, use, and share our data.
So no more hiding behind those like ridiculously long privacy policies.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, can we please make those things understandable?
I know, seriously.
For once.
Yeah.
And, you know, Reed also talked about data minimization.
Data minimization, what is that?
So it's the idea that companies should only collect the data they absolutely need.
Okay, so not just like hoarding tons of information.
Right, just in case.
Yeah.
Which is what a lot of companies are doing right now.
Yeah, it seems like that's the MO, just collect as much as possible.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that creates unnecessary risk.
Makes sense.
It's like leaving your front door wide open.
Oh,
you're just inviting trouble.
Yeah.
So data minimization.
Okay.
Transparency.
So that's on the company side.
Yeah.
But it sounds like there's also a role for individuals.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
We need to be more aware and savvy about our digital footprints.
So like reading those privacy policies?
I know they're long and boring.
Yeah.
But we should try to at least skim them.
Okay.
And, you know, adjust our privacy settings.
Yeah, good point.
Be mindful of what we share online.
So it's kind of a shared responsibility here.
It is.
Yeah.
Companies need to step up.
Yeah.
But we also need to take ownership of our digital lives.
Okay, so we've talked about privacy.
Yeah.
We've talked about data usage.
Hmm.
Let's circle back to that AI bias issue. That was pretty fascinating.
It is a fascinating topic.
But a little scary, too.
Yeah, a little unnerving.
So how do we make sure these AI systems are fair and don't amplify harmful stereotypes?
That's the million-dollar question.
It really is.
Well, Dr. Mehta had some really interesting ideas.
Okay, tell me.
First, he talked about data auditing.
Data auditing, what's that?
So before you train an AI system, you need to carefully examine the data for any hidden biases.
Oh, so it's like checking for cracks in the foundation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Before you build a house.
Okay, makes sense.
And then once the AI system is built,
mm-hmm.
you need algorithmic transparency.
Okay, so being able to understand how the AI makes decisions.
Exactly.
Okay.
So if something seems unfair, you can trace it back to the algorithm.
Okay.
And pinpoint where the bias might be coming from.
So it's not just about fixing the data.
Right.
It's also about understanding how the AI works.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then finally, Dr. Mehta talked about the importance of diversity in the teams that are developing these AI systems.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So if you have people from different backgrounds, experiences, perspectives, they're more likely to spot those potential biases.
Yeah. If everyone in the room looks the same and thinks the same.
Exactly.
Then they're going to miss things.
They'll have blind spots.
Okay. So it's like a multi-pronged approach here.
It is.
Yeah.
We need to be thinking about the data, the algorithms, and the people.
The people creating the AI.
The people creating it.
Okay. So it sounds like we've got a roadmap for a more ethical tech landscape, stronger regulations, radical transparency from companies.
Yes.
Rigorous data auditing for AI.
For sure.
And a commitment to diversity in the tech industry.
Absolutely.
It's a lot.
It is a lot.
But it seems like there's momentum building.
Yeah. I think there's growing awareness.
Okay.
And a sense of urgency around these issues.
Okay.
People are starting to realize.
Yeah.
That we can't just let technology run wild.
We have to be intentional about how we use it.
It's not just about what the technology can do.
Mm.
It's about what it should do.
Well, that's good, what it should do.
Yeah.
Okay, so this idea of like ethical design.
Yes.
That seems to be like the underlying theme here.
It's the key.
Building ethics into the very design of the technology.
Exactly.
We're going to dive deeper into that.
We are.
In the next part of our deep dive.
It's going to be good.
All right, I'm excited.
Me too.
And we're back for the final part of our deep dive into tech ethics.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We really have. It's been a wild ride.
From data privacy to AI bias.
All these big challenges facing the tech world.
Yeah, it can feel a little overwhelming.
It really can. Like, are we just doomed?
No, I wouldn't say doomed.
Okay, good.
I think what's important is that we're having these conversations.
Yeah, being aware of the problems is the first step, right?
Exactly.
And now we're going to talk about solutions.
Yeah, how do we actually make things better?
And this idea of ethical design keeps coming up.
It's kind of the golden thread running through all of this.
Yeah, like building ethics into the very design of technology.
So instead of trying to fix things after they're already broken, we're trying to anticipate problems and design them out from the beginning.
Okay, so like being proactive instead of reactive.
Exactly.
Makes sense.
It's about asking those tough questions up front.
Like what kind of questions?
But like what are the potential consequences of this technology?
Okay.
Who could be harmed?
Hmm.
How can we minimize those risks?
Yeah.
While still maximizing the benefits?
So it's like building a house?
Yeah, a good analogy.
You wouldn't just start throwing up walls and hope for the best.
You need a blueprint.
Right.
A solid foundation.
Yeah.
A clear understanding of the building codes and safety regulations.
And in this case, the building codes are our ethical principles.
Exactly.
But how do we actually translate those principles into design choices?
Yeah. How do we make sure ethics isn't just a buzzword, but is actually embedded in the technology?
Well, our experts had some interesting ideas.
Yeah, they did.
Dr. Torres, our privacy champion.
Yeah.
She talked about privacy by design.
Well, that's a good one.
So instead of treating privacy as an add-on or a checkbox, we bake it into the very architecture of the technology.
So it's like privacy is the default setting,
right?
Not something you have to opt into.
Yeah. Okay. I like that.
And it means thinking about data minimization from the start.
Yeah. So instead of collecting as much data as possible, we only collect what's absolutely necessary.
Exactly. And give users control over how that data is used.
Yeah. More transparency and control.
Exactly.
That would be a big shift from where we are now.
It would be a paradigm shift.
Yeah.
But I think it's a shift we need to make.
Okay. What else?
Well, Marcus Reed, our data ethics expert.
Yeah.
He talked about values-based design.
Values-based design. Okay.
So this is about identifying the values we want to uphold as a society.
Like what kind of values?
Well, things like fairness, transparency.
Nope.
Accountability, inclusivity.
Okay, those are good values.
Yeah, and then we need to make sure those values are reflected in the technology.
So it's not just about what the technology does.
Right.
It's also about what it represents.
Exactly. And the message it sends, it's about aligning technological advancement with our ethical aspirations.
Okay, I can get behind that.
And then when it comes to AI, Dr. Mehta talked about human-centered design.
Okay.
So putting people at the center of the design process, considering their needs, their values, their vulnerabilities.
So instead of just trying to make the AI as smart as possible, we need to think about how it'll actually interact with humans.
Exactly.
And what safeguards we need to put in place.
Think of it like designing a self-driving car.
Okay.
You wouldn't just focus on making it navigate roads perfectly.
Right.
You'd also think about the ethical implications of its decisions.
Mm.
Like how would it respond in unexpected situations? How would it prioritize safety?
Oh, that's interesting.
How would it interact with pedestrians and other drivers?
Right, because it's making decisions that could impact people's lives.
Exactly, and that's why human-centered design is so important.
Makes sense.
And it requires ongoing testing, evaluation, feedback from real users.
Okay, so it's not just a one-time thing.
It's a continuous process.
Ethical design is a journey, not a destination.
I like that.
So it sounds like this is a team effort.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's not something any one person or group can do alone.
Mm-hmm.
It requires designers, developers, ethicists, policymakers, users.
So it's like a whole ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We all have a role to play.
It feels like we're at a pivotal moment with technology.
We are.
We have so much power.
Unprecedented power.
To shape the future.
Yeah. But with great power comes great responsibility.
That's so true. It's not about being afraid of technology.
Right.
Or trying to stop progress.
It's about using it wisely.
Yeah.
Thoughtfully, intentionally, responsibly.
Making sure it serves humanity.
Exactly. Not the other way around.
Well said. So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the one thing we want our listeners to remember?
I think the most important message is that everyone has a role to play.
Yeah, we all have a part in this.
Whether you're a tech creator, a policymaker, or just a user of technology. Your choices, your actions matter.
So what can people do?
Ask questions.
Okay.
When you're using technology, ask yourself, is this respecting my privacy?
Okay.
Is this fair? Is this contributing to a better world?
And if the answer is no,
Don't be afraid to speak up. Demand better support companies that align with your values.
it's about being conscious and intentional. The
Exactly.
future is not predetermined.
We're writing it right now.
That's a great note to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this journey.
It's been a pleasure.
Into the world of tech ethics, we hope you learned something.
And feel empowered to make a difference.
Until next time, stay curious, stay ethical.